Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. And we could do a week's worth of broadcasts on this one subject. And obviously we won't. We'll cover this one thoroughly today, but it's a good one. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. The Bible says, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." Nothing hard about that. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Now, this proverb is a big help to us as Christians because it reminds us of the necessity of loving one another and reminds us of the things we do when deep down we hate somebody. So let's deal with the negative first, and then we'll look at the positive. They always say that's the best way to do it, you know. Get that bad stuff, to get the bad news out of the way, and then deal with the good news. Now, notice in the context here, hatred stirreth up strifes. In other words, when you hate somebody, you're going to stir the pot. When you hate somebody, you're going to mess. Now, you won't use the word hate. That's a four-letter word. It's a strong word. I've never met anybody yet that said they hated somebody else. Well, I take that back. I had a fellow say it the other day. Nobody likes to use that word anymore. It's too strong. It's offensive. They're afraid of torts, and they're afraid of lawsuits, and they're afraid of taking a hard stand. So they'll use other words, and they'll play like they don't have a problem. You know what I mean? Nobody. But listen. God doesn't do that with words like we do. If you hate somebody, God's going to tell you you hate somebody, whether you just say, well, I don't like them, or you just say, I love them in the Lord, or, you know, I don't care to be associated with them, or whatever clever way you think of saying it so nobody else catches on, God knows. And he just comes right out and calls it what it is. It's hatred. And when you hate somebody, you are looking for a way to mess with them. You're stirring up strifes. You're trying to get in their head, they say. You're talking behind their back. You're working over on them. You're trying to create a fight. You're wanting to do something to get back at them. You stir up strifes. You're not satisfied with your hatred. You want revenge. You're not satisfied with your hatred. You want malice. It burns in you. You want them hurt. You want them to pay the price. You want them to feel bad like you feel bad. And so you project that onto them. And you're trying to make a way to make your hatred come out like it's something that they have against you. I've watched this thing. So have you. Somebody hates somebody else, and then they manipulate the circumstances, manipulate the conversation, manipulate the events, manipulate others, until finally the one person has had it more than they can stand it. They retaliate. Second person caught in the crime is always the one found guilty. Just watch the referees in a football game. The yellow flag flies when the guy retaliates. So the guy retaliates against your hatred, and then you say, you see there, you see why I hate him, look at him. But you've been messing with him the whole time. You've been messing with her the whole time, trying to get something bad out of him. That's hatred. That's hatred. But you want to know something? That's what we were used to do when we were lost. That's not for Christians. That's what lost people do. According to Titus chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, "For we ourselves also," talking about the way he was before he was saved, "we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another." That's the way we used to be. And that's the way it was before you got saved. You read the context of Titus chapter 3, and go on down there to verse 5, you're going to hear him talking about salvation. Now, if a lost person hates somebody else, and he's stirring up strifes, and he's hating one another, and he's a hateful person, well, you expect that of him. Because he doesn't have the love of God in him. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, the first thing mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit is love. And when a person gets a full dose of the Lord Jesus Christ, their heart will change about that. I remember a woman that got saved. She was a hateful woman. And I remember Brother Aleman led her to the Lord. And she was in the hospital. And when she got saved, 24 hours didn't pass And then she started calling Brother Aleman to call in her family. They called them all of them that they could find in the area. And they came down there and stood in the hall of the hospital there outside of her room, and one by one she called them into her bedroom and apologized for her hatefulness to every one of them and confessed to them that her hatefulness was without cause. She was lost, and now that she had the love of Jesus Christ in her, she wanted them, first of all, to know that she was sorry. Secondly, she wanted their forgiveness. And third, she wanted them to have the love of Jesus Christ in their hearts and witness to every one of them. And after she finished all that, probably 48 hours didn't pass and she died. You know what happened to her? All of her life she lived as a hateful woman. But in the waning hours of her life, Jesus Christ saved her soul, and the immediate mark of his salvation on her life was reconciliation for her hatefulness and a willingness and a desire to spread the love of Jesus. Wow. Wow. So you can understand it from a lost person, but you can't understand it from a saved person. It just doesn't make sense. Now let me tell you something. There are some characteristics of people that hate. I'm talking about Christians now particularly, but it's true of all people. There are some characteristics of people who hate. Now, if you hate as a Christian, we'll apply these characteristics to you. If you're lost, I sort of excuse you. You shouldn't do it. I sort of excuse you. And the reason I excuse you is that you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, and God will take that hatefulness out of there, because God is love, and when he puts himself in your heart, your hatefulness should go away. It's like taking the remedy for a sickness. It's like taking medication. All right, so we'll say if you're lost, okay, we'll excuse you. But if you're saved, you don't have an excuse. If you're saved and you hate Christians, or you hate a Christian, you are a fool, according to the Bible. Now, don't think that I thought this up on my own. I'm going to read it to you right out of the text here, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18. Look at it. Because I know you're not going to tell them you hate them. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander, is a fool. That's F-O-O-L, fool. You say, I don't like you calling me fool. Well, I don't think that the disciples walking on the road to Emmaus liked it when Jesus Christ called them foolish because they didn't understand that he had risen from the dead. I don't think the Galatian church that Paul led to the Lord Jesus Christ appreciated it when he called them foolish Galatians, but they were fools because they had been bewitched by somebody that was not teaching them in the Spirit of God. They were teaching them after and in accordance with the law instead of out of the Spirit of God. And he said, you're foolish to follow that. So if I'm repeating to you something that the Bible says about you, and I say that you're a fool because you're hiding hatred with lying lips, then what of it? I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. Listen, I'm not trying to get under your skin to make you mad and turn your hatred toward me. I'm trying to get under your skin and grub that thing out of you so that you'll see how silly it is to continue to hate somebody when you've got the love of God in you. Now, I know your family and your friends don't know that you hate the person you hate as bad as you hate them, because you won't tell them. That's why he says, he that hideth hatred, see, you've been hiding it with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. You're foolish for continuing to hold on to that hate and malice. There's no reason for it. I've known Christians to do it. I've been the target of it, and I've seen others that are the target of it, and I've seen those that were doing the hating. And only one of them was ever honest enough to admit that he hated somebody. Only one. The rest of them, they beat around the bush. They hate them. They hate them. Their hatred is driven by envy. Their hatred is driven by jealousy. Their hatred is driven by circumstance. Their hatred is driven by anger. Their hatred is driven by suspicion, misinformation, whatever it may, pride, whatever it may be, they just can't let it go. I've watched it. You can call it whatever you want to call it. You can call it Christian love. You can call it keeping some space. You can call it a church split, just whatever you want to call it. The truth of the matter is, when you hate somebody, you hate them, and God knows it, and all the lying that you do with your lips to cover it is just foolishness. You're better off to admit it, to confess it, to get it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and seek reconciliation. The Bible says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I guarantee you, because I know it's true of myself, I know it's true of others, God had to forgive you of more than you would have to forgive them of. You've done more to hurt God than you've done to hurt them, or they've done to hurt you. And if God can forgive you, you can forgive them. It's as simple as that. You're a fool to carry that hatred. You're a fool to lie about that hatred. You say, I don't like you talking like that. I know. I don't like to talk like this. But listen, if I don't give you a rude awakening and get this thing up under your skin, pry that thorn out of your flesh to let you see it for what it is, you'll go on and live with this stuff till you go to your grave. Not only are you a fool, you're a deceiver, because you're going to continue to pretend that you don't hate them. Now look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 24. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. To dissemble with your lips means to pretend to be one way when you really are another. It's lying. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. You're a deceiver. When he speaketh fair, that's the problem, you see. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. In other words, when you see the person face to face, you'll smile, you'll shake their hand, say, good to see you. You're deceiving them. You would rather not be in their company. Anything but to be with them. You'll be nice, you'll be cordial for the sake of all those around you. You'll be nice and you'll be cordial for their sake, because you don't want them to know how you really feel about them. You're a deceiver. You've deceived yourself. But watch what's going to happen to you in verse 26. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. You can't hide it forever. You can't hide it forever. Be sure your sin will find you out. Pretty soon they're going to find out who the culprit was, and it's going to be you. Proverbs 26, verse 28 goes on to say, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. You see, you just keep buttering them up, and you keep talking good about them in front of them and in front of their face, and when you get home and you got a chance to talk behind their back, you will tear them up. I've watched it. I've watched it. You can pretend, but you're a deceiver. And you know the devil is a deceiver, and you're right there in the devil's arena. As a fool and a deceiver, but that's not all. The Bible also says you're a liar. I talked to a fellow one time who was a Jehovah's Witnesses, and I showed him out of 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, that there was a Trinity. That, in other words, God and Jesus Christ are the same God. He went over to his Bible, you know, and he said that that Bible verse had been added later and it shouldn't have been in there, and la-di-da-di-da. And he only gave the evidence that he had out of the Jehovah's Witness encyclopedia, didn't have all the evidence that's true about that verse from manuscript evidence. And I said to him simply, I said, sir, you're a liar. And he jumped up and said, nobody's going to call me a liar in my house. Get out. And I got out. I complied with his request. I wasn't looking for a fight. I just wanted to tell him what he was. Now, you know what? You got the same kind of pride that he has in your heart. You do not want anybody to call you a liar. I don't blame you. I don't like to be called a liar either, okay? But I'm not calling you a liar because I wanted to. I'm not calling you a liar because I just cooked up a verse of Scripture that I could find that made you feel bad. I'm calling you a liar because that's what the Bible says. You say, well, you've already discussed the fact that I'm a fool for hiding the hatred. You've already discussed that I'm a deceiver for pretending that I love them when I don't. No, I'm telling you you're a liar not about them. I'm telling you you're a liar about God. You say, now, wait a cotton-picking minute. You're not going to call me a liar about God. Okay, I won't. Can I tell you what the Bible says, though? Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Now, you see there? For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Now, realize, if you've got hatred in your heart for somebody, this message is absolutely intolerable. I'm sure you've wanted to hit that radio button two times already, at least, in this thing. Please stick with me. This is the bad news, okay? There's good news coming. But please don't kid yourself. The Bible says if you say you love God, but you hate your brother, then you're a liar. Because if you don't love your brother, whom you can see, how can you love God, whom you cannot see? You see, and that was written by John. John is the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he knows better than me, and he knows better than you, and the Holy Spirit of God knows better than both of us, and that's why he stuck that in there. Don't tell people that you love God if you've got hatred in your heart for a brother. It is not true. You've lied to yourself, and you've lied to God. And that's a serious, serious crime against God. And it's really very harmful for yourself. You see, the reason that I'm preaching the thing the way that I am is because you don't want to go on like this another day. You've got to get it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to get it fixed. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to God about how much you love God. If you've still got hatred in your heart with a brother, you say, how do I fix it? Go to him and it can, listen, go to God first and say, look, God, I'm sorry. I really do hate my brother. Just tell him and get it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that may be sufficient, because if you quit hating your brother from then on, everything's going to be fine, okay? But it may be that the way you've hated them has caused a lot of problem for family members or for church members, because now you're no longer able to keep it under a lid. Everybody knows the way you felt about it. Then it's probably going to be a good idea for you to go and reconcile with your brother. I mean, if you didn't just keep it to yourself, if he knows that you hated him and you've been really working him over, then you're going to have to go to him and say, look, man, I am really sorry. Please forgive me. I was not operating in the love of God. I was not operating in the Spirit of God. I was operating in the flesh. And we got to get this thing reconciled, and reconcile it, okay? You're going to feel a lot better when you do. He's going to feel a lot better when you do. And listen, you'll no longer be a fool. You'll no longer be a deceiver, and you won't be a liar about your love of God. That's a good thing. You got to get it straight. And let me just say this. If you decide to reject everything you've heard and go on hating your brother, you're a loser. A fool, a deceiver, a liar, and a loser. Frankly, I don't want to be in that category, okay? And I don't want you to be there either. And God doesn't want you to be there. The Bible shows you at the judgment seat of Christ what is going to happen to you if you go on with hatred. I'm right in the middle of a context in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, we're right in the middle of a context, but Paul is listing some sins in Galatians 5:20, and among those sins are hatred. And in Galatians 5:21, he tells you, of the which, that is, if you're a person with hatred in your heart, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You will carry that hatred with you to your grave and wake up at the judgment seat of a Christ and be judged. And when you're judged for the things that you've done in your body, whether they be good or whether they be bad, and that judgment's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, you're going to find out that you will have lost reward for carrying that hatred around in your heart. That's right. Because he says, if you have hatred, then he says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You'll go to heaven, but you're going to lose some of your inheritance. You say, I'm so mad it's worth it, I'll just give up some of my inheritance. Okay then, be satisfied to live with the consequences of that. But why give up some of your inheritance if you don't have to? Let the thing go. Don't be a loser. And let me say this. It's all directed right now to people who hate, but if you're one of those that's hated, do what Jesus said in Matthew 5:44. He said, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them and do good to them. Okay? I ought to go on with this some more, but I don't want to drive the thing into the dirt. I've got to give you some good news as well. An encouragement, a reason to love. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, love covereth all sins. Listen, maybe the person did something against you that you hate, and you think you're legitimate to go on with the hatred. If you really loved them, you'd cover the sin. Love covereth, A-L-L, all sins, including the one that was done against you, including the ones that were done against me. Now, if somebody's transgressed against you and you love them, the thing to do is keep it to yourself. Proverbs 17:9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Let it go, man. You say it hurts. Let it go. It hurts. Well, they hurt Jesus Christ too. Let it go. Cover it. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. And you know what happens with that hatred? You're hurt, and you want them to hurt the way you do, and you're going to make sure to cut off their friends. I've had it done to me, and you'll have it done to you. If you live as a Christian long enough, it'll happen more than once. Learn to cover it. Now, if you've got to face it, if you've got to talk about it, then talk it over with them face to face in person. Don't talk it over with anybody else. Talk it over with them face to face. Proverbs 27:5 and 6 say this: open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. All right then, If you got a problem, it's better to go and get it straight, and if it causes a wound with the friend, but your motive is love, and the rebuke solves the problem, you've gained a friend. And you won't have the hatred in your heart. You won't be a loser. You won't have to pretend. You say, I'm scared to death. I don't like confrontation. Get over it. Then cover it and live with it. If you can't live with it, face it. But get it done. And then do three things. According to the text, love covereth all sins. Do three things. Live in love. Live in love. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 says, For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Just learn to live that way. Love one another. Seriously. Just get up in the morning and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out. I'm going to learn to love these folks that I'm around. You can do it. I have a friend of mine. He's been married for a long time, and his wife and I were visiting, and she said, you know something? It's just been in the last 2 years that my husband has learned to love me the way that a woman should be loved by her husband. And I'm telling you, you talk about happiness in the marriage. He had a hard time with love. But when he relied upon and yielded to the Holy Spirit of God to love through him, he's come to a level of love and appreciation and joy in his marriage that he and his wife thought were never possible. You know what he's doing today? He's living in love. And it's not just contained with his wife. He's loving his children. He's loving his church family. He's loving the family of God. It has changed his life. Live in love. It's a very happy way to live. Not only that, but serve in love. Serve in love. 1 John chapter 3 again, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, if you really love somebody, don't just keep it, you know, just to walk up to them and, I love you. I love you too. You know, it's nice to be able to say that, but hey, put some footsteps with your love. Love in deed and love in truth. Do something for them. The Bible says in Galatians 5:13, For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. If you really love them, you'd be glad to do something for them. When you love your spouse, don't you do something for them? When you love your children, and I've seen more love demonstrated for children by mothers than I have probably in any other capacity. When you love your children, you do anything you possibly can for them. You'll serve in love. So live in love, serve in love, and grow in love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. I know I'm going through this quickly, but there's a lot to cover. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says, And the Lord make you to increase. Hear that? The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. You got to learn to love. Grow in love. In other words, if you think you're loving well today, make it a plan between you and the Lord that you're going to love more next year this time. And you're going to love more than that next year this time. I mean, 2 years from now this time. More than you did even next year. Growing in love continuously relying upon the Lord Jesus Christ to allow that love to grow. Listen, the more you love, the more you'll be loved. Unless you're a pastor, Paul says, the more I love, the less I'm loved. You know, it's just kind of the way it is, you know. Live in love, serve in love, grow in love, and get rid of that hatred. My goodness, you see the difference? Listen, if God loves you the way that he does, and you know he does, and you love him the way you want to, there's no room for hatred in your heart. Let it go. Let it go. Face it. Clear it. Get it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and go on down the road. And quit using your mouth to lie to them or lie to God or to destroy them. Love them. You say, but I just don't think I can. Yes, you can. Listen, I know of a case, and it just comes to mind, of a man whose son was killed by the Nazi youth right before World War II. And, oh, I mean, that man was bitter. Well, they arrested one of these Nazi youth that was responsible for his son's death. And after the war, they wanted to let some of these kids go because Hitler was dead and a lot of the fire that was in him was gone. And this one young man that had killed this fellow was ready to, you know, really he was ready to be paroled, but they wouldn't let him out unless he had family to go to because they didn't want him just hooking up with a gang and getting back into it again, you know. And his family had been killed in the war. And so when they were having his hearing about the parole, the father of the fellow that he killed was in the audience. And certainly the young man thought he was there, you know, to torment him, to make sure that he'd be locked up for life. And so when the judge said, is there any family here that can take this young man to raise? Of course, there was no family there. You know what happened? You'll never believe it. The father of the young man that had been killed stood up and said to the judge, Judge, I have received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and God's done something to my heart I thought was never possible. He said, Judge, I lost my son to this young man, but he lost his parents to the war. He's without parents, and I'm without a son. I'll take him home to raise with me. Ooh, boy. I'm telling you now, if God can put that kind of love in that man's heart for the young man that killed his son, you mean to tell me there's something that's happened to you that justifies your hatred, that you cannot live in love and serve in love and grow in love? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Listen, listen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. You know what that verse says in the middle of its context? If you love, your love dies when you die. And if you hate, your hatred dies when you die. Because there's no more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. The memories of your love will live on, and the memories of your hatred will live on. But all the loving you're ever going to do, you're going to do now, because when you die, you're not going to do any more loving. And all the hating you're going to do now, you better do now, because when you die, there'll be no more opportunity for you to hate. But also, there'll be no more opportunity for you to correct it. You will live with the consequences of your hatred, and you will live with the consequences of your love. And I can assure you, the consequences of your hatred will destroy your inheritance with God, but the consequences of your love will go on to your family and will reward you well at the judgment seat of Christ. So if you're going to fix it now and get over it once and for all. It is better to love than it is to hate, according to that text. And I encourage you by God's grace, you've been very patient to put up with all of this today. I encourage you by God's grace, give up the hatred, clear it with God, clear it and reconcile it with those you've hated, and learn to live in love.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.